1988, and John Burton and Colin Stevens are in the music shop at Burnaby Village Museum, and we're going to talk about John's experiences in music shops in New Westminster. Okay, John, you might as well just talk.
Smaller town, if they couldn't support it, sometimes some other store, general store or drugstore, sometimes would carry some of the music.
So everybody was involved in music.
But in the bigger towns, of course, that they, any, the town that had a good business district, it would have a music store. New Westminster in the old days had two of them. Of course, it was a small city. It was Collins Music Store, where I worked on Saturdays and after school at times. And our competition was the Todd Music Store. Hmm. And both did a pretty good business.
No TV and...
Well, but the radio was coming in. It hadn't taken over, but it was taking over. And I don't know what it did to the sheet music right then. It probably hadn't hit it too hard. If anything, it encouraged it a little bit. But probably shortly after that, the sheet music business suffered from the radio. Also, the talking pictures were coming in at that time, and the theme songs on a movie almost overnight they became popular. Winona, when it came, we had it in stock and record and sheet music for quite a while before the movie hit. And it was a good seller, but not too brisk. As soon as the movie hit town, everybody wanted to buy the sheet music and the records of Winona. About 2 months later, you couldn't give it away. Everybody was tired of it. And we found that the faster any song, either in sheet music or in record, became popular, the faster it reached a high popularity, the more sudden its downfall. For other songs were never too popular, but they last for years. They've been there before I was there. Some of the popular stuff, but they'd last perhaps always get to sell the odd one.
John, what period was it that you worked in a music store?
It was in 1928 and 29, just at the start of the Depression, or just before the Depression, at the boom. Also, the economic conditions were something like that. They were very good in 28 and 29.
Yeah.
And then suddenly came the Depression.
What about a typical layout in a shop like this, John?
Well, now this is in Collins, you see, and I've seen other stores much the same, depending on the size and space they had. But in our case, on one side we had a wall, we had, I think it was either five or six shelves of sheet music. We put our standard music and classical music at the top. And any song might be popular, but if it was something that was not going to go out of date, would be listed as standard. And standard songs in the sheet music usually sold for 50 cents. Irving Berlin's stuff was all standard. Now, the classical often sold for sometimes 50, but usually 60 cents, sometimes more. And that was kept up at the top. All the current popular songs, they were on the lower shelves. And of course, they were in alphabetical order. And some of them, which we might only keep one or two on hand. They're just enough call that we had to keep one or two. Others, we'd have a whole stack of them, maybe some on the shelves at the back to bring out when those were sold. Good reserve stock, someone such as Ramona. And I think if I remember right, when Ramona went dead, we had quite a few Ramonas on hand.
I'm sure others did too.
Yes, I dare say everybody's good. Now, on the other hand, the store was about this width. Coming in the door, which would be about here, a couple of pianos. We usually had two, sometimes three pianos, and a panoprobe, and a small whistle grinder and stuff. And it's smaller bunch of gramophone on display. We get others if the people want them, but those are they considered the two popular sellers.
So Brunswick was the gramophone,
yeah.
And the other thing before that you mentioned?
The Panatrope. It was Brunswick's deluxe model.
Oh, the Panatrope.
It, the Panatrope came out, I guess it was in, might have been in early 29 or the end of 28. It had a tube amplifier in a set of radios head, which gave it a much stronger, much more power and a better tone than the ones that were just strictly mechanical reproduction. So you had your Panatrope, we had the Panatrope there, and I don't remember that we ever sold a Panatrope. People often looked at it, and I think it was about $300. A tremendous fortune, because they could buy a car for that, not a new car, but a good used car. So the we had the Panatrope, and we had a Brunswick, a little smaller than that one, and not so fancy.
That's the one nearest the cash register.
Yeah, that's that one.
That's not quite that one. But the largest record player in the shop right here.
Yeah. Well, it was a good machine. I think it sold for about $90.
Did you sell many of them?
Not very many.
Fewer.
Not too many. Of course, even $90 in those days was a lot of money.
Yes.
Broke a month's wage.
Pardon?
About a month's wage.
Yes, about a month's wage. In fact, for many people, more than a month's wage.
Remember how much you were paid when you worked in the music shop, John?
For my Saturdays and sometimes after school, I got I was well paid. I got $10 a month.
How old would you be in at that time?
I guess I was 16 and 17.
What about the records in the shop?
Well, at the end, there was a small room like this size of a small bedroom. And that was the record room. Now the walls were lined with racks to hold the records. And we had a gramophone there, a Panatrope. It was not a Panatrope, that's the regular small Brunswick. And that was used for demonstrating. And sometimes we'd play 20 or 30 records and maybe not sell one, or maybe sell one. But people could come in and say, have you got such a record? I want to hear Ramon, yes. Well, I don't like that. Well, by the way, have you got such a record? And some people would sometimes come in just to kill time.
Mm.
And my job, when I on a Saturday, I usually had to sell the records, or at least demonstrate. They'd also come in and get people to play, whether it's to get the music stores, get the sheet music played. Now we had, the boss's wife was a good pianist, and she used to demonstrate the sheet music, and sometimes she'd play 20 different selections and not sell any. She said that she figured that her time, that they'd make nothing on the sheet music if they just figured her time even at a very low rate, and the wear and tear on the piano, but still, that was the custom of music stores. We had a showcase farther down in the store. Now the store was about three times as deep as this, but after the pianos and gramophones, we had back here, we had one showcase running lengthways against the wall, and then another across the building. And they contained such items as, a large stock of mouth organs or harmonicas. Some of them were cheap ones, all the way from 60 cents up to, I think, about 350 or 375 for the harmonica, which was the one with the little slide that you could get very sharps and flats in it. And then there were various ones in between, big ones, small ones. One of the popular ones sold at 60 cents, and that was the Marine Band. It was a small one, but very popular. We also had a stock of guitar strings, violin strings, mandolin strings, ukulele strings for the various instruments, rosin for the violins, bridges for the instruments. And we're always, every somebody that's come in and want a violin bridge or ukulele bridge. We had banjo picks, mandolin picks, guitar picks, as well as steel for Hawaiian guitars. And there was always some of that stuff selling. Those weren't big items, but they did mean something to the store, and they brought people in. And usually, if the people came in to get a set of strings, they'd probably buy some sheet music.
So it paid the bills.
It helped pay the bills quite a lot.
Were the harmonicas being the Hohner brand?
They were. But once in a while we'd get some other brand. I forget, we got some German ones once. A special shipment they got that came in just before Christmas. And they were a little bit cheaper. I think they were some of them about 40 cents. But I forget the brand. They were all right, I guess, just about as good. But the specialists wanted the genuine Hohner brand. They didn't want the cheap one. But a lot of kids with limited money would come in and buy